Hola, mi gente fabulosa y hermosa Sasa. Tu noción es válida, tus sentimientos son válidos y todos merecemos estar en los espacios de los cuales no usualmente somos vistos, pero pertenecemos a eso. Aquí tengo el gran honor y la grata compañía de las dueñas y creadoras de la marca de cigarro Tres Lindas Cubanas, Yvette e Yvonne Rodríguez. Este es el contenido y la representación de herencia cultural que necesitamos. Mujeres con herencia estadounidense y afrocubana. Su liderazgo empresarial no solo ha creado una plataforma digital, la organización de Afrolatinos Professional, pero también creando espacios para la comunidad afrolatinex en el condado de Miami-Dade. Yvette Rodríguez es publicista de profesión y empresaria. Yvonne estudió periodismo y comunicación, al igual que Yvette, es ex ejecutiva corporativa con la y cofundadora de la marca de cigarros Tres Lindas Cubanas, el cual originalmente empezó en el 2013. Esto fue una visión original de su abuela. Este es un negocio de familia y ha sido evolucionando y prosperando hoy en día. En estos momentos, las hermanas están expandiendo sus negocios con una marca de Caribbean Queens Coffee y están súper entusiasmadas para volver a crear y tener eventos para el público y para ampliar nuestras voces. A continuación, quédense en el show y démosle la bienvenida.
Ustedes están escuchando el show de Chombita Chronicles, que en este momento, antes de empezar el show, dale a ese botoncito de la plataforma donde estás escuchando este podcast para hacer el follow, seguirme, recibir notificaciones. Si estás en la plataforma de iTunes o Apple Podcasts, dale, entra y dale 5 estrellas a este show y deja tu comentario.
Y como dijo, y cómo fue, Chumbita Chronicles, temporada 4. Entonces, ¿qué? Ustedes están aquí escuchando y disfrutando. ¿Y cómo me van a apoyar? Por dejando un comentario en este show. Dejen su comentario, no sean tan ahí, you know, stingy. Como dice, denle apoyo. Yo tengo un link tree, y en ese link tree hay un listado de cosas donde ustedes me pueden apoyar, un WhatsApp, un Venmo, un Cash App, lo que ustedes quieran. Pero lo más seguro también darle 5 estrellas a este podcast para que la gente siga llegando, comentando, recomendándolo. Y nada, sigo con mis invitadas, Yvette Rodríguez y Vaughn. Son ellas son las empresarias, tienen un negocio de cigarros. Es que no solo es que el hecho que tengan la empresa de cigarros, sino también tienen una herencia cultural en la cual yo voy a dejar de hablar y ellas van a tomar la palabra. Ok, entonces, en esta dinámica, cigar business, ¿cómo ustedes se sienten bienvenidas? ¿El acogimiento fue inmediato? ¿Es el male dominated? ¿Cómo ustedes, como dicen, insert yourself and say, ok, we're here, we're gonna stay?
Yeah, well, for us, that truly was never an issue for me, at least. We had two other men and that we were in a relationship with, and they were also part of the business. But the business started growing fast. They had to get going. They had normal jobs,
Oh, wow.
And we go, oye, mira, corta. Y seguimos, And for me, truth, I mean, again, if those like those types of questions that it's harder for a woman in a male-dominated industry, which is everything, besides cigars, it's basically everything, So then we do go. I mean, for me, it's not even trials and tribulations. It's lo que es. We are. We're, I'm thinking. I try to leave emotion out. This is business. So
This is
then,
business.
contigo, con otro,
Exactly. There's a lot of opportunities out there. Because este cigar shop es el otro.
Sí.
And period. And we've always used us being women, black women, Afro, todo. And it kind of came around at the same time. Like as far as like wearing our hair natural or whatever, that
No
launched
way. The
also with the
transition came
business.
about when you guys were doing the business
Yeah,
deals, bro.
yeah.
not in our consciousness.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like, yeah, like, I was like, no, I think I'm going to go natural, whatever. She's always copying me and solo. And then it was just, boom, the launch of this. And then I big chopped. It was around the same time we launched it. Boom.
It was, yeah, it was a strange coincidence. It was like a rebirth. Yeah. Like a rebirth.
It was a rebirth.
It is.
Oye, pero la santera de los hijos.
It is. It definitely, the big chop is a rebirth. I did that transition like 3 years ago, and it's not that I didn't feel beautiful or pretty. It's just, it was just something different about me. Like, it just, it sits, and I'm like, this is it. You know,
it's weird.
You know,
it's weird. You know, it's weird, pero it was, yeah. And just, yeah, people see you in different eyes, and you see people differently, and you, like, it's just, I don't know what it is. It's an energy that, it's like your crown, and said,
your crown.
Your aura's like.
Yes, it's like here. I have the special effects. So, were you guys, I usually always ask these questions, where were you guys when the whole George Floyd took place? Like, kind of, it was actually that, you know, it was that catalyst moment that it kind of highlight and put the la luz entre, okay, it's not what has been happening, because we had known that this has been happening, but it was recorded. And, you know, this man got murdered by the police and everything. But the highlight was not only for Black, but then suddenly it was just, like I said, a Pandora box, and say, what about Latinos and Black Latinos and Afro Latinos? What are your thoughts about that?
With, as far as our, the besides the cigars, no, starting with the cigars, rather, and then how the Afro-Latino professionals came in, that for us, when we were launching back in 2013, it was around the same time, or like right after, not right after, but more or less, when Trayvon Martin was murdered also. So then it was just like a weird, you know, an awakening, that it's like, as far as Blacks, so we are Black women, that it's just like, oh yeah, we gotta do us. We gotta take care of us. We gotta do us. Like, it was something like, we have to support Black business, we have to support it like that. Just like African-Americans, just like, we've never seen ourselves, like, as far as that, it hasn't been a difference as far as, yeah, but I'm Latina. It wasn't like that. However, around the time that George Floyd came around, it was, they were approaching, my son was interviewed by like CNN or something like that. CNN, like a Spanish.
Yeah, they suddenly started tracking everybody. They track me, they track you, like everybody, like documenting, you know. They reach out to you guys, tell me.
Mm-hmm. They wanted to know from an Afro-Latina perspective, how is this, the murder of George Floyd, affecting this Afro-Latino community?
No, I wasn't at that point, truthfully, because we were getting a lot of, and again, that I'm kind of rebelde when it comes to that, like, even with media, that media is good for our business, but I don't like all media either. You know, I'm not here to sing and dancing, and I'm not, you know, and I say it a lot, but don't Celia Cruz me, you know, like, don't just call on me for certain things, you know, before it would be even like entertainment, you know, that again, within the cigar industry, it is a form of entertainment, you know what I mean? But I am more than that also, you know, so then, and our people are more than that. So then if we're speaking about, I remember they started approaching us when it was Black History Month. Ahora cuando, they getting me that Afro-Latinos also. I understand, I get it, you know. Pero cuando lo de George Floyd, that they were coming because they possibly won't dare to go to an African-American, you know.
Right.
So then their closest link would be an Afro-Latino, but you're only going to get me by Romano. You get what I'm saying? Like, I understand and think, you know, our voices have to be heard. Pero Palomalo
nada más.
And I remember I told him.
Palomalo nada más. Yeah, say that again. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was a big media outlet, which, I mean, a lot of people would welcome it, but I was like, and I told them, hey, listen, no, you guys are only calling me for, like, the worst, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm, get someone, another Afro-Latino interview, me personally, I'm tapped out, you know, you know, and me siguió llamando. It was like a whole day of that or whatever. And then he came.
La cuota se acabó.
Sí, sí, sí. Y hablamos, but I was telling him I was breaking it down, you know. And again, but that brings a lot of backlash. You remember in Miami, Cubans are very much considered conservative. I don't know how. I don't know how, where, like,
how that came about.
But so then that is a friction between, I'm Cuban, I consider myself Cuban, y cada vez que pasa algo de Cuba, or I don't know what, you know, I'm down with the cause, you know. But I am still, when it comes to Black and white Cuban relations, it's still very segregated, you know.
Yes, yes.
You know, they don't let us in. They don't let us in. But with our brand, yeah, it's all old when we started. Now it's more an eclectic bunch of brand owners, you know. Pero cuando empezamos, well, el viejo, y el otro viejo,
right.
El otro viejo, todo mundo con guayabera, you know.
Yes.
So then,
yes.
Of course, we walk into the situation, and it's not that we're not wanted. They can't even look at us, you know.
Ustedes están disfrutando del show de Chombita Chronicles con su anfitriona Jovidi. Quédense ahí, regresamos después de esta pausa.
¿Cuál era?
No, no, as far as the atmosphere within our industry, that it is male dominated, it is Cuban male dominated, and it is older generation dominated, you know. So for us, they never. How could they, you know, I'm not saying that you can't blame them, but how can you possibly take us seriously?
Yeah, they don't really like the name. They like us, but they like the name. What brought them in was the name. That's why it was like, eh, because they can relate. That song is an anthem. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, gotcha.
And that says a lot about Cuban culture. That song alone, that's like an anthem within the Cuban community, you know. Gotcha. A song that everybody knows, but it is of a time.
Una época.
So that was like my grandmother's
a period time. Yeah, a period time. Yeah.
Sí, so los viejos lo conocen, los hijos de los viejos lo conocen, so then it's very nostalgic. You know, it brings on emotion, you know. But it's very much like ingrained, not even el exilio, but before lo que estaban antes de venir para acá, you know. So that's like for us an homage to that time, you
Perfect.
Know. But we're living in now.
In the now.
So then our brand is not necessarily based on Cuba nostalgia, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Which
okay.
is very popular. It's very
it
popular.
Is. It is. Yes.
Our brand is based on Miami, Cuba.
The vibe.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We live here.
Yes.
So then it's like, we tell them, like, our brand, you know, a slogan that we say is like, we're the passport to the Caribbean.
Yes.
We're here, though. We're here. We're not in Cuba. We're here. But we're very much in tune and connected with
Caribbean.
Caribbean way of life,
right. Is very much seen here in Miami also, you know.
Yes.
So then that is how we live. So it's not necessarily looking back at el café con leche. That's what we're at una ventanita tomorrow. You know, that is how we live, you know.
So I wanted to segue because you did mention, she said, because of what happened then, okay, how then the organization, the chapter, Afro-Latino Professionals, tell me more about that. So how did that came about?
That came about, again, organically, because of relations with Cuba, it was during that time that Fidel Castro died in Cuba, and then it was like a news station that came to Miami and they wanted to speak to Cubans. I don't know how he got in touch with us or if it was probably because we're Black Latinos, he wanted mm-hmm. to speak to us and Cubans, you know, mm-hmm. we speak English also.
Uh-huh.
And he interviewed us and mm-hmm. talking about, you know, how much can we say really? We're here.
Right, right, right.
As Miamians, and yeah, people have been praying for this to happen for a while, you know? And so then, yeah, it's a big deal in Miami. It is a very big deal in Miami. And then he mentioned, he goes, so that, is there like a large Afro-Latino community in South Florida? And like even Afro-Cubans? And I'm like, yeah. And it's like, yeah, like, yeah, you know? But we've been asked that before. And I'm like, oh yeah, that time went, yeah. Because there also have been events that I've seen, I've heard about, where there'll be a panel speaking of
Afro-Cuban spirituality or whatever it is.
Topics.
Whatever it is. Topics having to do with probably Black authors, Black Cuban authors, whatever like that. And Iuno in the panel was Black. Not that they have to be, but an excuse. One, a panel in a museum here in Miami.
Right.
A friend of mine went and they had like an entertainer, they had a Santana, they had different things. And she goes, no, but everybody was like white, speaking of Black Cuban culture.
Yes.
And then what she goes, and I guess she approached the people. There's a white woman also, meeting a white woman approaching and saying, hey, and how come there aren't any like Black Cubans on the panel? They're like, well, you know, we don't know where they're at. We don't know how to find them, something like that.
Well, where to start?
You don't know how to find them, like, you know what I'm saying? So that either you're not looking or it's not top of mind, obviously. And it was like, so he asked us that question, and I'm like, oh yeah. By the end of the night, can we come back around to that question? And I listen, no, like just to let you know that we're gonna be creating an Afro-Latino professionals organization, some kind of networking group, some kind of something that they do exist. You know, they do exist for there's a Dominican, you know, but I don't think it has to do with race really. It has to do with their countries. And we're like, no, let's do Afro-Latino professionals group. Right. No, we had to.
Yeah, you know, and we know so many, you know, just off of the top of my head, I could name Black Latino professionals in a lot of different areas, a lot of different professions.
Yes, yes.
You know, just expanding that and creating more like a directory. Yes. Si uno sabe de algo, they need un locutor de no sé qué, you know, they need, and that has come around like with our circle, you know, things perfect. Have been hit off, a lot of people, professors, that need, you know, information on Black, you know, they know how to connect with whoever's doing.
You guys have become that resource, which is great. Yeah, which is great. Because then people don't have any more an excuse not finding, you know, or locating. And I think that's great, because sometimes it's like, I think there's a chapter in DC also about Latinos, but then, you know, it's always a small concentration, but then once everybody now, because of this or because of this movement, that is not a fad, it's becoming a conversation and it's going to be here. And I love what you're doing, it because it's also the word Afro-Latino professionals. It's like we are in different spaces. I recently interviewed finally an Afro-Latina that works in Google. She was there, and I have that voice if you guys want to listen to it. But yeah, because I knew that there was somebody, and finally somebody actually wanted to set a foot forward also and say, hey, look at me, I'm here, I'm representing.
So we feel the same way, and like a resource, a net to refer each other to business, to just something where it's like, yeah, I know somebody can do that. Yeah, or like just easy, just how we do in normal life.
Network, but
also we have to work consciously. We have to be conscious.
Awareness,
have a mind that we have, like, you know, to support each other. And if somebody comes, it doesn't have to be, we don't even have to think about, you know, we don't have to think about race, but they're thinking about race. The outside is thinking about race. So that we have to help each other, not discriminating against anybody. This group is open to it all, you know? But yeah, why not?
But there's something also very odd when you say, like, okay, other people are talking about our stories, that's where, you know, I can speak for myself, that somewhere the erasure was so incredible when I went to school that, you know, I'm learning all of this. In the 1500s, there are already Blacks in Panama and everywhere else. And I'm like, why was not this told to me? Why we even had a Black mixed person? And I'm like, why would I, you know, that would have made so much of a difference. But it was, you know, the complete eraser. And then they start with Cristobal Colón and everything else. And now we're here, fast forward, thanks to you guys, our generation that are open. Gen Z, millennials, that is just like digging up and giving us clarity that, you know, all of our ancestors are speaking right now through us.
It's unavoidable, and it's noticeable. You know, like it's vibrating. It is vibrating. This is like a whole movement, but it's like such an evolution that it's like we're all kind of snapping.
No despertamos. It's awakening. Awakening.
Sí. Y con, obviously it continues, But we got a long way to, like everything, we have a long way to go.
We do. We do. We we're making small milestones. Pero I want to pick up on what you said.
¿Están escuchando Chombita Chronicles con su anfitriona Yovi D? Claro que sí. Quédense ahí. We'll be right back.
So you're like, don't come to for me for bad news, but come to me when it's good news. So how can we propel that, Yvonne? Like, how exactly does that look like? And, you know, to like kind of close it out, but then, you know, ¿cómo podemos dejar esa curiosidad y ese empuje hacia la comunidad? Como dice, búscame para buenos ejemplos.
Sí. Bueno, for me, and especially when I was speaking to that person, to that reporter, that I told him, oye, no puede ser nada más para tragedia, you know, for those kind of things. Pero búscame cuando, it's a normal Cuban issue, not when Castro dies, you know what I mean? Like, búscame when you guys are interviewing everybody 24/7 of the same, you know, look and background and thoughts, you know, look for us also. We claim that we are Black Latinos. You know what I mean? We've grown up just like you guys. We have the same expertise that you guys have also, you know. So then don't just get me for the, la locura, you know. Matan un afro latino, mata alguien, and then they're calling you para una, oye, no. No, that's a local persona, no. No, no, give me for... political advice. Give me for, you know, there's a lot of airtime, especially in like mainstream media. There's a lot of air. I mean, there's plenty. It's a lot of people, you know. No.
Porque yo creo que, you know, there's a lot of great representation. There's a, like, como dice, buenos cantantes, poetas, people that are really contributing right now to society. As you know, are you guys making a difference? So I want to just close out and say, okay, you guys are the epitome of the example of, and I'm so glad that we made it possible. Yvette, so what are your goals? What do you want to see? Because I believe that you, well, pandemic, post-pandemic, you had created like meetups in person with Afro-Latino professionals. And also you said that you created events also with your cigar company. What is next?
I think what is next is to expand on that. And also to start reaching out more to millennials. We do have, you know, in our group, millennials, but like, you know, what we've seen is, and then even if I go like to, you know, to a store, these kids, you know, younger than millennials because they're kids, Gen X, et cetera, they are, not Gen X, Gen Z,
et cetera.
These kids, their look is like nothing I've ever seen before. Like, they are representing themselves unapologetic.
Yes.
No, but no two people look the same out here, it seems. You know, no two people look the same from their hair, from their clothes, from, you know, their, you know, the way that they style themselves or whatever. And we want to bring them in because it's like, we kind of need their help.
Yes.
Also.
Yes.
We kind of like, we have to connect with them because it is, they already, what we are, I mean, I've always accepted who I am and etc. But it was, maybe I could have been more open and more out there about it. And it's like, they're already there.
Yeah.
So that I would love to just continue doing what we're doing. Continue to be a resource, to refer a business, to expand on just like these opportunities, a podcast, on YouTube, and all
that. I believe that you guys are also building your YouTube channel and blogging and kind of like, you know, creating a momentum right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had a YouTube channel, but it was like more for promos for just the cigar business.
Yes.
But then we've relaunched, and it is, we call it Double Shot Caribbean Queens Unfiltered. So it's not even, tiene que ver con los tabacos, pero tiene que ver también, tenemos una línea de café, Caribbean Queens Espresso, CaribbeanCoffee.com. And that is overall. So then in the YouTube channel, we're concentrating on, you know, as far as a brand, it is, you know, just the lifestyle and the things that we're creating and contributing. We're trying to contribute, you know?
Yes, yes.
That's our contribution.
Yes, yes.
To society.
Yes.
You know, what else can we do? But we're including Afro-Latino professional stuff. We have it on the docket. But, you know, it's not just lo tabaco. It is lo tabaco, el café, Afro-Latino professionals, everything that which encompasses.
Yeah.
So that's another thing to try to reach out, like, to try to expand through that. And, just growing and just, you know, helping each other out. Más o menos. Loving life.
Yeah.
Enjoying life. Yeah.
So there you go to our listeners. Don't hesitate. Reach out to Afro-Latino professionals if you find yourself. You don't need to live in Miami, but just reach out. And, you know, ellas están ya haciendo como ese su granito de arena, and we need to just continue expanding this. And it will be really, really awesome to do that. I cannot tell you how happy I am, que contenta estoy de tenerlas finalmente aquí. Y, como dice, la última palabra para que, como dice, cerramos con... A lo alto. Dale, dale.
Oh, me gusta eso, amiga. I mean, I want to congratulate you too. I want to thank you for, you know, you recognize, you know, and you're open to, you know, like contacting and, you know, you're very open and, you know, you have to, I know you work very hard, you know what I'm saying? You work very hard. Pero eso está para mí. Eso está para mí. Because that's your role is to work hard y esto.
Mi gente fabulosa y hermosa, Sasa. The following is a sponsor ad for Chumbita Chronicles. And it's Hydra Lip Balm. Yes. So you guys have been seeing or checking out my Instagram. If you haven't checked out my Instagram, you better follow me right now. Yeah, I'm here waiting. Yeah. Anyways, so yes, there's a lip balm that has been amazing to me. It's organic and vegan. 30% less plastic, cruelty-free, soften dryness. And I have a tip for you. Guess what? For me is apply it before you go to sleep. Yes. So check it out. And anybody that buys under my promotional code, JOBD, and we'll get 20% off. Yes. So check out the World of Doli. They are Afro-Latino business. Afro-Caribbean, yes.
You know, you did a great job, and, you know, thank you so much, and congratulations.
Hay que seguir adelante.
Beautiful. Well, you know, a good flow. You make a comfort. You make a whole
masterclass.
It's a vibe.
Super. Entonces, con eso cerramos y nos vemos en la próxima edición. Y como dijo y como fue, Chumbita Chronicles, ya nos vimos la próxima semana o la próxima edición. Cuídense.
Bye.